Good afternoon. Welcome into another edition of Talk of the Town. I am Jason Allen, and today I'm very happy to be joined by someone who's become a very good friend over the past few years, Karen Lundeen. And first off, Karen, thanks for being here with us today on Talk of the Town.
It's absolutely my pleasure.
So you're here to talk about the Christmas Day happening, and this is the third time that you and I have met together to talk about this wonderful event. And I guess I just want to start with talking about what the Christmas Day happening is. I know probably about 95 to 99% of the people in this area probably know what it is, but for those who are maybe newer, just haven't been paying attention, if you could just talk to us about what the Christmas Day happening is.
It is a free meal served to anybody in our area on Christmas Day. Again, I want to repeat, on Christmas Day. And it's at the Fire Hall on North Broad Street. And as Jason said, it's our 34th year. When I hear those numbers, I am just totally amazed, because all those years ago, I did not have a vision. God did, for how long this was going to go. And today, he still is the only one who knows how long it's going to go. But we're in his will, so we'll do what he says.
Now, were you in this 34 years ago when it started?
I was such a young person. But yes, I was there in the beginning, as was every member of my family, as every one of my grandchildren have been. I mean, I've said this before, my grandchildren, all six of them, know nothing but going to the Fire Hall on North Broad Street and helping to serve however many show up. And it's been a true blessing for me to see the grandchildren grow and be able to give of themselves on a day where lots of people, you know, I don't want to say people are selfish, but they have their family traditions, as my family did when we were asked to start this. And yet my family's traditions have changed, and they're at the Fire Hall doing what's ever asked of them, as is many, many other volunteers.
Right. So what was your tradition before you got this started?
I think we were pretty much like everybody. You know, we never did a Christmas Eve party. We always did Christmas Day. So when the girls were small, of course they woke up early. And of course they were instantly wanting to open their gifts, which they did. And then we would go out and we'd have sort of like a Swedish breakfast with the Swedish curve and the eggs and pancakes or whatever. And then we'd just sit around the rest of the day being fat, dumb, and happy, looking at the gifts and enjoying them. And pretty much I think what everybody does, or most people do. But then again, I don't know what most people do.
That sounds like you had a pretty good tradition. So where was the inspiration to start the Christmas Day happening?
It came from a very good friend. Her name is Lila Sprague. And she said to me, "What do you do on Christmas Day?" And I told her. And she goes, "Oh, well, would you like to do something different?" And I said, "Absolutely." I said, "But I have three daughters and a husband that I don't know how they're going to feel about doing anything different, especially on Christmas Day, because we've never heard of anybody wanting to do this." And so she shared her story with me that when she was in school in Chicago, many, many years before, she was not able to make it home to Minnesota because of weather conditions. And way back then, I mean way back then, there was no fast food stores open. There was nothing open. So she sat in her room, and she was sort of crying and talking to the Lord and saying, "Nobody should have to be alone on Christmas Day. This is not how you wanted it to be, Lord. I know you wanted people to be with family, and family is important." And so she promised him on that Christmas Day that if ever in her life she could do something for people that would be alone on Christmas Day, she would do it. Well, fast forward, and Lila married George Sprague. They moved back to this area. They had their three children, and of course we have our three children. And she now wanted to change all of our traditions. But you got to understand, this woman was gifted from God with the gift of enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And there was not too much you could do when she got a hold of doing something. She took us down several roads along our friendship, which were all good, but different, and took you out of your comfort zone. So the first year, we thought, well, we'll just have everybody come to our houses, because how many people would it be? I mean, we were very naive. And our houses weren't that big. And all of a sudden, just by word of mouth in Ridgeway, we had 47 people that wanted to get together on Christmas Day. And we thought, well, this isn't going to work. So we started looking for a place. Not hard to find a place on Christmas Day because nobody was doing anything. But we went to the First Lutheran Church, of which Lila and George were members at the time, and they opened their social hall to us, and thus we started. And I look back now, or think back on it now, and I think, wow, we were really trusting the Lord. I mean, cooking turkeys and mashing potatoes, and all of a sudden people wanted to know if we could deliver a meal to them. We thought, well, we never thought about that one. So we started to think about delivering meals to them. And as it was that year, Lila and I were in the kitchen, our husbands were mashing potatoes, our kids were sort of sitting around being grumpy because we were changing their tradition.
Right, right.
And it just came together. People came and said, well, could we provide some music? So the Hoffman family came, and they sang, and it was just God's hand all over the place. I mean, Warren and Mary Lou Riggle came that first year and started doing dishes. 34 years later, they're still coming doing dishes. Their children grew up coming and doing dishes. And now they're all married and gone, and they still come to the fire hall. And when the kids are home, they come also, such as with our kids. It just became a family's blessing.
Awesome. Let's talk about the events of the day. We know the Christmas Day happening is on Christmas. This year, it's on a Sunday, so make plans. Do whatever you need to do in the morning, wherever it is you're going to be. And then what time does the event start?
We serve dinner at the fire hall at 12 o'clock. And through the years, this has been a little confusing for some people because they think we're going to be serving all afternoon long, and that just doesn't happen. We do serve at 12 o'clock at the fire hall. If you want a meal delivered, you need to call us, let us know. We have several numbers to call, and we can deliver dinners. If you want to volunteer to help to deliver dinners, you need to be at the fire hall by 10:30 or 10 o'clock, and we start taking out the dinners for the takeouts then.
Okay, so dinner starts at noon. So if somebody's coming for dinner, should they be there by noon, or do they have a little window, half an hour? What would you say is the latest somebody should show up if they want to get dinner?
You know, it's like most events. The earlier you come, the better it is.
Of course.
You get a better seat. You get a better whatever. You get to socialize because the point of it all is not to be alone.
Right.
It's to be there and have people love on you. I've said in the last several years, we have a Christmas Day happening family, and it expands. And with like all families, some of them aren't there the following year. And, you know, God's taken them home, or they've moved away, or things have changed in their lives. But we're always there, so praise the Lord. And volunteers, I can't say enough for volunteers. I mean, it's just God bringing people in to do what they do and to love on people. And my prayer has always been twofold, that if there's someone who's going to be alone, that we definitely find them through churches, through calling, through other people. And the other one is that when they come, they feel the love of Jesus when they get there. It's not just coming in and getting a meal and, you know, going home. And it sometimes breaks my heart because this year I just heard from a lady that said she came and she sat down and nobody talked to her. Mm-hmm. And she didn't talk to anybody. And knowing the personality, I can see why that happened. But when you have 200, 250 people at the fire hall, you can't really get to them all yourself.
Right.
So this year I'm going to make my helpers so aware that they need to also communicate with the people that come in. They need to love on them. They need to make sure that when they leave, they feel as if they become part of the family also. Hmm.
So how many people, or well, I guess I should maybe back up a little bit since we're talking about time. If somebody wants to, they could show up at 11 o'clock and hang out and socialize, that would be great.
They could show up at 10 o'clock. They could show up, you know, whenever they get up and they want to come down. And coffee's always ready.
That's good news.
So that's always there for them. And there are, you know, we do serve hors d'oeuvres and we do serve other things. The soup's always hot and in the kettle. So, you know, whenever you feel the need to come down, please do, because we'll be there.
But try to be there for noon, because that's what time it's being served. Okay,
correct.
Awesome. How many people are you expecting this year? How many people did you have last year about, and how many people do you expect?
Yeah, you can only say exactly. I mean, I know how many place settings we set, and last year we had to expand out into the truck room.
Holy cow.
And, you know, we had 250 seats there at the fire hall last year, and one year we put a table up by the entranceway, and there was some out in the truck room, and it's not a never for sure thing, but it's almost positive over 200 for at the fire hall.
Do you still see the event growing every year?
I just trust the Lord for whatever he wants to send, because I really don't have a vision for numbers. My vision more is for communicating the love and not being alone to them. Mm. I many times have to go to our head cook and say, you know, how many do you think we fed this year? Because I get caught up in other things. You know, I get caught up in greeting people and the home deliveries and making sure that this is still working this way and answering my voicemail number to make sure we haven't missed anybody. So a number thing has never been my thing.
Right.
It's always just who God sends to us.
Now, how about donations? Food, monetary, how does that work?
By faith. 34 years ago when we started this, Lila said to me, at the end of the Christmas Day happening, if we have any money left over, we're not supposed to hoard it or keep it or put it in a bank and get interest on it. We're supposed to, if we know of any situation in town, donate it to it. If there's a family that you have heard about, if there's, you know, the fire department, anything at all that you've heard about it, clean out your bank account. That's what we do. I keep maybe $100 in there to start off with stamps and mailing everything out, and making the letters up. But it all goes by faith, and God has never, ever let us down. I mean, he provides abundantly more than what we could have ever thought. And through that, we've been able to help people even after Christmas, which is an excellent thing. You know, without Lila's total vision of this, I don't know if I would have done things the way she wanted them done. It's like the first year she said to me, we need to write a thank you note to everybody that's done everything. And I'm like, okay. Well, now fast forward 34 years later and 250 people, 500 total, that's a lot of thank you notes. And some people will say to me, don't send me a thank you note. You don't need to do that. Why do you do? And I said, because Lila told me to. I said, and I don't want to change the way she set this all up. So it's a blessing to write a letter to, or write a little thank you note to everybody. I think we've gotten so caught up in today's world of how we do things, you know, send it out and whatever all this stuff is called out there. But sitting down and writing a thank you note, I don't know if it means so much to the people who are getting it, but I know it means a lot to me, because I'm still honoring what it is that she wanted this to be.
I think we should be sending you thank you notes for putting this together. Are you still in need of any donations?
We're always in need of donations. You know, when you go by faith, I mean, I remember the year I got so concerned because I didn't think we were going to have enough desserts. I mean, what's the big deal? Not enough desserts. So this one worker went home and she brought back to the fire hall every cookie she'd made for Christmas.
Oh, my.
And I was just so overwhelmed with it. So I always say, yes, we need desserts. And some people say, well, what do you need? And I say, they eat everything. So whatever you want to make or bring or donate, pies are good, cakes, cookies, whatever, bring it to the fire hall either Christmas Eve morning or Christmas morning, but it all has to be done early. Or call my number and let me know if you have a donation. I seem like this week I've been picking up turkeys. And that's okay, because they say, I have a turkey, but I don't know what. I'll be by. When can I come? So I've had a turkey pickup this past week.
That's a good thing.
It's a very good thing.
Now, this is not just a month, two of planning. You mentioned to me before we started this that you've been planning this basically since last year's ended.
This was a unique year, I thought. It happens to me that the Lord tells me what he wants to do for centerpieces and stuff. And, you know, because after 34 years, you're sort of dry is the word, I guess. But last year when the family and I were cleaning up the fire hall, I said to the girls, next year we're going to do the nativity scene. That's going to be our centerpieces. And they go, really, Mom? What do you have in mind? I said, I don't know. I just know that we're supposed to do the nativity. It was, I don't remember how many years ago, the Lord impressed with me that I needed to speak at the happening and just invite the people to invite Jesus into their life, to tell them that he's the reason that, you know, we're all here and we should really. And I asked them if they didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, if they'd talk with me or my pastor, who, you know, the Pastor Peterson that was there, or anybody else that was there, my son-in-laws, my daughters, and just to make sure before they left that they knew who Jesus was in their life. But this year, it was a nativity set. So my girls said to me, so, Mom, how are you going to do that? I said, I don't know, but this is my thing. We need to start looking for nativity sets. So the girls and I started going to yard sales, Goodwill, thrift shops, and looking for nativity sets. And lo and behold, the Lord blessed us with 30 sets. Not the full set. We just needed Mary Joseph and the baby Jesus. And my daughter, Diana, said to me, so now what are we going to do with them? I said, I don't know. So because I don't do the computer stuff, my girls went online and found this nativity centerpiece where it was an open Bible that you decoupaged open, and then you took the nativity set and you placed it on the inside of the Bible as it was open. You put a Christmas card that had the Holy City pasted behind the nativity, and there you had your centerpiece. And I went, oh my Lord, he really did have a plan, didn't he? So now we have 30 nativity set Bible centerpieces. And that was another thing, the Bibles. So where do you find 30 Bibles, you know? And who really wants to give up their Bibles? I mean, it's a pretty precious thing.
Right.
But fortunately, my church, my pastor, said, I mentioned to him, and he said, I think we can take care of that for you. So God provided 30 Bibles, 30 nativity sets, a daughter that was willing to put them all together, and now today we have 30 nativity set centerpieces ready to be given away to everybody.
Awesome.
Isn't God good?
Yeah. What is so special about the nativity to you?
Oh, it's everything to me. It really is. I mean, you know, it's the birth of our Savior. It's everything. And I mean, some people really don't think that it's that important of a thing. There's so many controversial things out there today. But God sent his only son. If you're a parent and you have one child, are you willing to give that child up for the world, for the nations, for everybody? I mean, it just blows my mind that God would care that much for both you and me, that he would send his only son to die for us, that we can have life eternal. I mean, death is not the end when you know who Jesus Christ is.
And is that why this has carried on for 34 years?
Yes, absolutely. Because Lila made a commitment to God, and she never broke it. She didn't, you know, she could have just forgot about it because her life went on. I spoke to the elementary school a couple years ago, and I said, did you ever promise somebody something? Promised you'd be at a party of theirs, or you promised them you'd do something for them, and then you totally forgot about it? I said, Lila never forgot what she promised the Lord. And look what's happened. Look how many people have been blessed through her keeping her promise.
Now, I know you've mentioned delivery of food on Christmas Day for those who maybe can't make it out of the house. Can you talk to us about how that process works?
Well, I have three people that take reservations or take deliveries for me. I have a voicemail number. They call in, they tell us where they live, how many meals they need, and we tell them we'll be there on Christmas Day between 11 and 12. If they need a ride to the fire hall, we can even provide that also. And we have containers. The containers are the same things that they use for the Meals on Wheels. We fill them up. Everybody gets a turkey dinner, and they get a ham dinner, and then they get dessert. And this year, one of the churches in town has provided so that we can actually send them out a favor this year, which is something we haven't been able to do. And lo and behold, guess what the favor is? Inside is candy, and on outside of it is a picture of the Nativity. And God brought that together, too.
Like it was meant to be.
I know.
Now, what do you have any special stories about how somebody's been touched through the Christmas Day happening?
You know, many times I've wished I'd kept a journal, but I'm not a journal person, so it's relying on my mind, which is interesting these days anyway. But what happens is families come, and much like when our families started the happening, the kids are sort of like, what is this? What are we doing? Why aren't I home playing with my toys? What's up? And my particular favorite story is about this young guy who came with his parents. I don't know, he must have been about 13, 14, 15, I'm not sure. That really interesting age with teenagers. He came in all grumpy, and you could just see his arms were folded, and he was just not a happy guy. He came in, and we greeted him, and we gave the family one dinner to deliver because we like to make sure that we don't overload them so that they will spend time with the family they're delivering the dinner to. It's not a drop-off thing. And I always tell them, try to sing a song to them, and you should see the looks I get from some of the guys. They're like, yeah, right, I'm going to sing a song. But many times they have. But anyway, this young guy left with his mom and dad, and I could see he had an attitude, and I prayed for mom and dad that, you know, he would see the blessing that it happens. They delivered their dinner. They came back to the fire hall, and the young man came over to me, not the mom or the dad. He came over, and he said, can we do another one? He said, that was really neat. That was fun. And so they went out and did another meal, and for years after that, they kept coming back and coming back. My guesstimate would be this young man might be in his early 20s now, and we haven't seen him for a while, but, you know, life goes on and off to college or whatever is going on, but he's one of my favorite stories to remember. And there's always people that come back with their stories, and through the years, I've thought, you know, some years I think I'd like to go do a home delivery. You know, I've never left the fire hall. I've never seen how that goes. But they come back and they tell me their stories, and I cry with them because many of them. And then people deliver, and they come back and they say, can we deliver to so-and-so because we had them last year and it was so much fun, and can we go there? And so they sort of get into having their own little family group on Christmas Day. So, yeah, there's awesome stories all over the place, but they're blessings.
Okay, so now if somebody has questions about volunteering or making a donation or anything else, how would they get those questions answered?
Well, let me give you some phone numbers here. Yes. My voicemail number is 776-5180. And then if you call 772-5174, that will be Linda. And if you call 6508, that's Jan. And then the final number is 776-1896, and that's Kay. These ladies have been taking reservations for several years for me. They tell me stories, too, about talking to the people, and they want to tell them their story and, you know, what the happening has ever meant to them, or how they've never had any meal delivered and they're a little apprehensive about it, but yet they thought, well, we'll try it again. We'll try this year. And then they hear back from them again the next year. You sort of grow a family through that too, because you know their story, because everybody wants to tell you their story. And so the ladies have said that, you know, oh, I didn't hear this year from so-and-so, so I'm going to call them and see what's going on. I was calling numbers the other day, and I called this one lady who gave me her number last year as a contact number for another person. And I called and I said, I'm calling to see if so-and-so would like a dinner delivered this year. And she goes, oh, my dear. She said, she's sitting at the banquet table up in heaven with the Lord. And I went, oh. I said, a much better dinner up there.
Plenty of company, too.
I said, that is awesome. I said, I am so glad. I'm so glad we were able to be a part of, a little part of her Christmas day. She goes, you'll just never know what that meal meant to her last year. And it's things like that, Jason, that just
right.
melts your heart.
Well, let's remind everybody about the day and time of the Christmas Day happening. It's called the Christmas Day happening because it happens on Christmas. 1 week from today, December 25th at noon, and it's taking place at the Central Fire Station on North Broad Street in Ridgeway. I get it all right?
You got it right.
All right, and let's, maybe somebody was scrambling to get a pen or a pencil, so if you could give us one or two of the phone numbers again, if they...
I'm going to give you my voicemail number, 776-5180, and 772-5174, that's Linda. So again, there's two other numbers, but if you can remember those two and call and make your reservation or ask for a meal to be delivered, or if you need a ride to the fire hall, that would be awesome also.
Well, Karen, I wish you the best of luck this year and in all of your planning for next year and many Christmas happenings to come. Thanks for joining us today on Talk of the Town.
My blessing. Thank you.